Let's read again in Colossians 1, verses 21 to, well, 21 and 22. Colossians 1, 21. Once, Paul says, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you wholly in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith and so on. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight who still has sitting in your house a present that you were given at Christmas that still hasn't been unwrapped? Bethany looks at me. Why would it be unwrapped? It's got to be unwrapped as soon as it can be on Christmas Day. But anyone got a present that they still haven't unwrapped? Well, I don't think you have, do you? It'd have to be a very unusual reason for there to still be a present you've been given that you hadn't unwrapped yet. There is, however, a very real chance that all of us have done something like that with the gospel. That God has given us things in the gospel and we haven't unwrapped them yet. And I want to think about a problem tonight that is a problem for many Christians, but I think whether or not you consider yourself yet to be a Christian, you can learn and profit from what we're going to think about tonight. The problem is this. Many people, when they receive Jesus, they know that God has forgiven them. But they don't receive the forgiveness. So you receive Jesus, you bow to him, he's your Lord, he's your Savior. You know that God has forgiven you, but you don't receive that forgiveness. It's like in verse 21, you're aware of your past. You were alienated from God. You were an enemy of God. In your mind, you were opposed to God, says Paul, because of your evil behavior, the way that you lived your life, and perhaps some particularly bad things you did. You remember them now. And even though you believe you have received Jesus and you know that God has forgiven you for these things, you can't receive that and accept that forgiveness for yourself. And it may be you have something that you hold against yourself. It may be that you still carry a sense of shame for things that God has forgiven. Maybe that you feel there are things that you have to do in order to pay for the wrong that you did, in order to pay God for the wrong that you did, in order somehow to make up to God for the fact that he had to send his son to pay for your sins. Maybe you still put yourself down, reproach yourself for the past. And maybe you allow other people to put you down as well. You kind of accept it when other people are rubbishing you because that's what you do to yourself. Maybe, although you've even received Jesus and you know you're forgiven, you still punish yourself for things you did in the past. And you still think to yourself when bad things happen to you, well, it's only what I deserve. You expect bad things to happen to you. And when bad things do happen, you think immediately, this is God punishing me for these terrible things I did in the past. And that's what I deserve. You believe in Jesus, you receive Jesus, you know and believe that God has therefore forgiven your sins, but nevertheless, you're having difficulty accepting His forgiveness. It's very difficult to accept the ministry of God to us. When God would come to us and simply say, "Your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more." It's difficult for us to fully accept that. Remember Peter in John chapter 13, when Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet? Jesus would minister to Peter. And Peter couldn't accept it. "Lord, you shall never wash my feet." It's like Peter felt like he was too unworthy for Jesus to minister to him. And he couldn't allow it because he was such a bad person. He was still the Peter in the boat who had said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And he still felt that way. How could he let Jesus, whom he loved so much and whom he worshipped, how could he let Jesus minister to him when he was so unworthy of it? "Lord, you shall never wash my feet." And that's a problem for many Christians, perhaps for all Christians to some extent. That if we look back over our lives and we really recognize how bad things have been in our lives and how sinful we've been, then we cannot feel it right that Jesus would minister to us. And even though we may feel that He has forgiven us, at the same time we find it difficult to just accept that and be at peace. But what did Jesus do for us on that cross? Well, what Jesus did was very real. It's not just an idea. It's not just a woolly thing. It's not just something he says. Verse 22, Paul says, "Now Jesus has reconciled you," or "God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in His sight." Jesus really died, His physical body really in death was the means of dealing with that enmity, that alienation that verse 21 describes, the evil behavior of our past, and it puts all these things away. And it brings us into a place, a state of reconciliation with God. God is reconciled to us through the real physical things that Jesus did when He died on the cross. Now, if God is reconciled to us, we must be reconciled to Him. Are we going to refuse to accept God's forgiveness and continue to feel bad for the past evil behavior that we've done? Well, Paul says, this is in 2 Corinthians 5, and we sang it a minute ago, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." If God is reconciled to us, if He is reconciled us by Christ's physical body, as verse 22 says, then how are we ever going to enjoy that? How are we ever going to reap the benefit and enjoy the benefit of it if we don't receive it to ourselves, if we don't receive God's reconciliation? And as Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 6, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." Don't just be people who receive Jesus, believe you're forgiven, but still go around beating yourself up for the past. It doesn't work like that. The gospel isn't meant to be like that. The gospel is meant to reconcile you to God, to completely bring you into a relationship with God in which the past is gone. And you cannot bring up the past anymore because God will not bring up the past anymore. Now, speaking of bad pasts, Paul was a man who had a really bad past. He had more reason than most people to struggle with his past and to beat himself up for his past and to find reasons why it would be difficult for him to accept God's forgiveness. In fact, you can see, you can trace a development in Paul that the more he goes on through the Christian life, it seems, the more aware he becomes of how bad his past was. Early on in his Christian work, 1 Corinthians 15, he writes, "I am the least of the apostles," he says. "I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." So there he begins by saying, "I am the least of the apostles." A few years later, in Ephesians chapter 3, he writes, "I am less than the least of all God's people." He's no longer just the least of the apostles, he's the least of the saints, he says. And then towards the end of his life, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he writes, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst," he says. So in Paul, there seems to be, and maybe that's reading too much in these passages, but there seems to be a developing sense of how bad he really was. First, he's the least of the apostles. Then he's the least of all God's people. Then he's the greatest of sinners. But Paul does not then mean by that he's going to go around giving himself a hard time for the past. He hasn't got any right to do that. Paul understands the gospel. God has forgiven Paul. Paul so therefore says, after he says, "I persecuted the church of God," he says, "but by the grace of God, I am what I am." That's the past. Now I live in the grace of God. He's saying, God has done this. God has forgiven me. God has reconciled me. Who am I to argue with what God has done? See, Paul is a man who really grasps what God's forgiveness means. We sang some words from Romans chapter 5. Let's read them again. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So reading that carefully, Paul is saying, when did Jesus die for us? He died for us while we were in the worst possible place. We were still sinners. We were God's enemies, he says. But it was in that place, when we were far from God, that God showed his love, that God sent his Son, and that God reconciled us to himself so that we could rejoice in him. And so that the fact that we were his enemies, the fact that we were still sinners, is irrelevant now to our present relationship with him, because we have been saved from God's wrath through Jesus. We are reconciled through Jesus. We rejoice in God. We enjoy a relationship with God. So you may be the chief of sinners, but the gospel puts that in the past. And the gospel says to you, don't just believe you're forgiven, receive the forgiveness. Accept the forgiveness. Do not any longer dwell on the past. Do not trouble yourself about the past. Do not reproach yourself. Do not beat yourself up about the past. Do not expect to be punished for or condemned because of the past. The gospel has dealt with it. Receive reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. Let me change tack and try and approach this from a different direction. We're taught in the gospel something very important about what it means to be forgiven, and that is that if we're forgiven by God, we should forgive other people. So, for example, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, we must be forgiving each other, Paul says, just as in Christ God forgave you. So, if we're forgiven, well, that means that on Monday morning, we've got to forgive other people. On Wednesday afternoon, we've got to forgive other people. In the cut and thrust of life, when people hurt us, when Christians hurt us and wrong us and say bad things about us, we have to forgive them. Now, we do that. When we forgive other people, we don't expect them then to question that we have forgiven them. If we say to someone, look, I forgive you, we don't want them ever again to apologize to us for the same thing that we've just told them that we forgave them for. We don't want them to keep on bringing it up and saying, oh, I'm really sorry I did that, and please forgive me. We want them just to accept we're forgiven and move on. We certainly don't want them constantly to beat themselves up in our presence. So other people then must be allowed to expect the same from us. If they forgive us, then the very least we can do is believe they've forgiven us and accept that forgiveness and not keep apologizing and not keep bringing up the wrong and saying, I'm really sorry, and you know, you remember that time, I know I shouldn't have done that. They forgave us. So it's dealt with. We're free from any further issues relating to the thing they forgave us for. We must accept and take at face value their forgiveness. We say thank you for it, but then we move on. Just as we expect others to say thank you for the forgiveness we show them, and then to leave it and move on. Are we too proud to accept other people's forgiveness? Do we expect other people to accept our forgiveness while at the same time not allowing ourselves to accept their forgiveness? We can't do that. We can't pretend that we're special in some way. You see, I'm really special. I was really bad. And although I can forgive someone else for doing that thing because I did it and it was a really bad thing, I can't let them forgive me. I can't accept that they could just forgive me and it could be finished with. What makes you think you're so special? That you are the person that can't respect the forgiveness someone else shows to you? And it's the same when the person who's doing the forgiving is God. Do you know better than God? When the gospel says that he has reconciled you to himself through the death of his son, reconciled you, as verse 22 says, by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight. Have you any right to question that? Have you any right to effectively deny it by continuing to bring up the things that you've done in the past when God has forgiven you for these things? You may find it okay to accept God forgiving you for little things, but are you saying that he can't also forgive you for big things? Or the things that you think are big? Yes, the gospel is the power of God to forgive you for every sin, every evil behavior that you showed, every wrong thing that you did. And you nor I, we have no right whatsoever, no business to keep on feeling unworthy before God and to keep on refusing to accept God's forgiveness because we feel unworthy. So, you know you are forgiven. Will you not then accept it? Do you think God is like that person? We've all got people probably in our lives that don't let us forget the wrongs we've done in the past. There are people like that, and they will bring up things at convenient moments. They will remind us of where we went wrong in the past. You'll say something like, "I think I'm a pretty good driver." And the person will say, "Well, remember that time you crashed the car?" And you never get to forget the time you crashed the car, even though you're trying to move on. Do you think God is like that? Is God someone who keeps reminding you of your faults? What do you think salvation is about? It's about God never reminding you of your faults. It's about God forgetting your faults, putting them away into a place where he is effectively remembering them no more. Do you think he's like that person? You say, "I'm a moderate drinker." And that person says, "Usually. But remember that time?" Or they'll say to you something like, "Are you going to hit me again the way you hit me that time?" You know, they remind you of times when you really did something bad, something really wrong. But like, you're trying to move on from that. God is not like that kind of person. He's not petty like that. He's not looking for opportunities to bring up the bad times and remind us of them. He's not just hoping that he'll get a chance one way or another to tell us how bad we really are, and to remind us about all the times we've gone wrong. That's not what salvation's about. God sent his Son to die for our sins, so that he would never, ever, ever again bring up anything at all at any point we have done in the past. It's forgiven when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. It's completely and utterly forgiven. So do not revisit anything in your past. The bad things that you were ashamed of, God has forgiven. Leave them. God has left them. Don't do the job of that petty person who keeps reminding you of your faults. God's not going to do that job, and he doesn't want you to do that job for him either. There is no pettiness about God's salvation. God's salvation is full and free and generous and unreserved. Because he is never going to bring your failures up, You must never bring them up either. His son has made an end of them. I said something to someone the other day. I've been thinking about it since and wondering if it was really true. And this is what I said. It's about you guys down there. Yeah, it's about you. I said, I preach to many Christians who know they are forgiven, but don't enjoy it. Because they feel too unworthy to accept the forgiveness. I preach to many Christians who know they are forgiven, but they don't enjoy it. Because they feel too unworthy to accept the forgiveness. Was I right? Was I right in your case? Or do you want to have a word with me afterwards and say that that just wasn't true and I shouldn't have said it? Something to pray about. I preach to a lot of people over time, like Malcolm. Go around, DJ, go around different places, preaching. See a lot of different Christians. I do not observe among Christians generally the kind of freedom, the kind of joy that comes when you completely accept your reconciliation to God. I don't see it. I think Christians have a difficult time accepting, could God really deal with my past? Do you mean those really bad things, those terrible things I did? Could God really deal with that? And I think Christians struggle because they feel unworthy. They feel they don't deserve it. Oh, we must not be like that. We need to listen to what God says here. Just as we finish at the end of verse 22. Now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Free from accusation. Who is going to accuse you tonight of your past sins if you trust in Jesus Christ? If you don't trust in Jesus Christ, God is accusing you. That's a problem. You need to trust in Jesus. You need to, because God is accusing you. But if you do trust in Jesus Christ, who is going to accuse you? Well, God is not going to accuse you. And if God doesn't accuse you, you can't let any other voice override the voice of God. Your own voice, the voice of other people, that petty person that brings up your past. You mustn't be that petty person that brings up your past. No matter how you feel, no matter how unworthy or how undeserving, you accept that God does not accuse you. You are free from accusation. So do not let anyone accuse you. Do not accuse yourself. Live in the freedom and in the joy of the forgiveness and the reconciliation that God has bought for you at incredible price through the death of his son. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to live in the freedom of it. He wants it to be a release for you. He wants it to be something that liberates you from the past. The past is gone. You can live now for Christ in the future. Now and in the future, without dragging the past with you. Don't do that. Jesus Christ has dealt with it through his physical body on that cross, reconciled you to God, and because of that reconciliation, you are holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Go in that freedom now from this place rejoicing, and do not listen to any further accusing voices, you who trust in Jesus Christ. Amen.